right, do you have your Bible? Are you ready to open it up now to the seventh and final saying of the Lord Jesus Christ? Gospel of Luke, Luke the 23rd chapter in the 46th verse. I'm concluding these 7 weeks of sermons on the seven cries from the cross. We've been taking them one by one in the order that Jesus gave them. And today we come to his seventh and final saying on the cross of Calvary. The Apostle Paul said that his burning passion in life was to do two things: to know God in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings. And then he added this qualifying statement. He said that he also wanted to know God and be conformed to his likeness in his death. And so we have this seventh saying of Christ, which is an inspiration and an example to us to not only live as Christ lived in his power, but to also face death in the way that Christ faced death on the cross of Calvary. And so today we look at that seventh and final saying on the cross, and it's interesting that the number seven in the Bible is the number of rest. And how interesting it is that the sixth saying of Christ is, "It is finished." When Jesus said that, he was not speaking about his life being finished, that I'm done, you have crucified me, it's all over for me. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, my redemptive work on the cross of Calvary is finished. Everything that needs to be done for man to be saved has been completed by me, by my saving work on the cross of Calvary. And so we see the finished work of Christ in that sixth saying on the cross. And now we come to the number of rest, where Jesus literally falls asleep in the hands of his loving Father. We're reminded of Exodus 20, where it reminds us there that 6 days the Lord worked. He created the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything that is in them. And then the Bible says he rested on the seventh day. And so we look there, every eye there, at the seventh and final saying of Christ, his saying of rest as he faced death. If you have your Bible open to Luke 23 and verse 46, give me a loud hearty amen.
Amen.
You read silently as I read aloud. When Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. How do we face death? Or let me put it down to where you're living today. How do you face the difficulties and hardships that many of you are going through? Many of you are carrying your own personal crosses this morning. How do you face those life-threatening situations? We face it the same way Jesus faced his death on the cross of Calvary. The first way he faced his cross, the first way he faced death was with prayer. And so there in your listening guide in the worship pages, we see the prayer of the Son. And we're just unpacking this final statement that Christ made on the cross, word by word and phrase by phrase. And the word that we're dealing with here is the first word that he uttered in this seventh and final saying. It's the word Father. It's not the first time he's used the word Father on the cross of Calvary. As a matter of fact, it's interesting to note that out of these 7 cries from the cross, 3 of them are prayers to God. The first statement that Jesus made was to the Father in prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And now he concludes these 7 statements with his final prayer, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. But many of us remember that sandwiched between these 2 prayers that addresses God as Father is that 4th cry from the cross, where he does not call his Father, Father, but he just calls him God. And of course, that is the 3rd hour on the cross, when God turned his back on His only begotten Son, because Jesus became sin for us on the cross of Calvary. And God cannot tolerate sin, so He turned His back on His only begotten Son, and that's when Jesus made His fourth cry from the cross, which was actually His second prayer that He offered there on Calvary, when He said, "Not Father, but my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus abandons His favorite term for God, which is Father, in that middle prayer on the cross of Calvary. Father was His favorite expression when He referred to God. It was six times there in the high priestly prayer He made in John chapter 17 that He referred to God as Father. 45 times in His upper room discourse, He called God Father. 17 times on the Sermon on the Mount, He called God Father. And now we see that He has finished His work with that sixth cry on the cross and atoned for our sin by becoming sin for you and me. Fellowship is now restored between Him and God. And He makes this third and final prayer, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." There's an application for you and me today, because we're all sinners. The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of the sin that is in our lives, there is broken fellowship between us and the Heavenly Father. But this is why Jesus died on the cross, so that that broken fellowship can now be restored. There's no longer enmity between sinful man and holy God, because Jesus now stands in the gap, making the sacrifice for you and me. And if we'll believe in the finished work of Christ, we can have unhindered, unbroken fellowship with the Father in prayer because of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. How many wonderful Christians have faced death like Jesus with prayers upon their lips? You know, we've had four of our United States presidents who were assassinated. Did you know that? Everyone quickly remembers two of those presidents, JFK and Abraham Lincoln, but we struggle a little bit more to remember who those other two presidents were. One of them was James Garfield. Interesting thing about James Garfield, he'd hardly been in office before he had been shot and lived on for several more days in Washington, D.C. Did you know that James Garfield was a licensed minister of the gospel? He is the only president that we had who was a preacher. And then the other president who was assassinated was William McKinley. You might not know this, but as a young man, William McKinley felt like that God was calling him to become a minister of the gospel. But as he went throughout life's experience, that calling got a little bit more clearly defined, and he felt like that God was calling him to public service, as a public servant in elected office. And he was elected as president of the United States of America. But he, like JFK, like Abraham Lincoln, and like James Garfield, was assassinated. He was attending the Pan American Expo in Buffalo, New York, when the assassin's bullet shot him. He lived on for several more days. And according to his attending physician who was there at his deathbed, his last words were a prayer that has now been set to music. It's in your hymn book, hymn number 458. The dying words of President McKinley were a prayer when he said, and I quote, "Nearer, my God, to thee, even though it be a cross, this has been my constant prayer, nearer to thee, nearer to thee." As President James McKinley faced death, he faced it with prayer like the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you probably don't know the name Polycarp. Polycarp was the pastor of the church at Smyrna in modern-day Turkey. Polycarp was an 86-year-old man. In his youthful years, he was a disciple of the Apostle John. And many people believe that Polycarp's end to life would be very much like John's end to life. John was the only apostle who did not die a martyr's death. He lived into his 90s. And Polycarp was 86 years old, still preaching the gospel at the church in Smyrna. Many people thought that he would die a peaceful death, just like his mentor John had. But it was not that way, because the enemies of Christianity were very troubled by the many converts that were being led to the Lord by this 86-year-old pastor. And so they had him arrested. And having him confined, they gave the old man the opportunity to recant his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, "Polycarp, pay tribute to Caesar as Lord." And Polycarp said, and I quote, "86 years I have served Christ, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior?" When he had said that, they put him in a speeding chariot going up and down the streets. And they pushed him from that speeding chariot. When the 86-year-old hit the hard roadway, his hip was injured, but he was still alive. They stood him up and marched him into the stadium, where there was a great throng of people who were hoping to see the 86-year-old pastor put to death. But they gave him a second chance, saying, "Polycarp, deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Pay tribute to Caesar as Lord." And he refused to do it. And so they put him there on the stake. They were going to nail him to the stake like they had nailed Jesus to the cross of Calvary. They gathered the wood around him, but they didn't nail him, because he said, "You don't have to affix me to this stake. I will stay here, and I will gladly die for my Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to hold me to this stake." And with that, the dying words of this man were a prayer. He said, and I quote, "O Lord God, the Father of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, I give you thanks that you have counted me worthy of this day and this hour, that I should have a part in the number of your martyrs, in the cup of your Christ, to the resurrection of eternal life." And when he had said amen, they lit the fire. Eyewitnesses to that event said something strange happened. The fire would not touch Polycarp's body. It formed an arc around his body and shot straight up into the sky. When his tormentors and captors saw that the fire was not harming Polycarp, they pierced him through with a sword. The eyewitnesses said that the blood flow was so great that it literally extinguished the flames that were to burn Polycarp at the stake. How did Polycarp face death? The same way William McKinley faced death, the same way Jesus faced death on the cross, with a prayer upon his lips. Friend, I don't know what cross you're enduring today, but I can tell you that Jesus purchased open access to God through prayer on the cross of Calvary, and you can talk to him. You can share your heart with him in prayer as you face the difficulties and the crosses of life. But not only this, I notice a second thing about the way Jesus faced death, and that was his confidence and his faith and trust in, number two in your notes, the place of safety that was waiting upon him. Just unpacking this seventh saying, word by word and phrase by phrase, he says, "Father," that's the prayer of the Son, but then he says, "into your hands." That's the place of safety that was waiting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. His confidence and his faith was in that harbor of rest that was found in no less than the Lord's hand. It's very interesting that for the first 3 hours on the cross of Calvary, Jesus was in the hands of sinners. That's what he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I quote out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 46, verse 45, when it says, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." Matthew 26, Verse 45, Jesus is saying to his disciples, I've been in God the Father's hands up until this point, but now I am willingly placing my life into the hands of wicked men. And what did the hands of those sinners do to the sinless Son of God? They beat him upon the face. They slapped him. They abused him. They whipped him. The wicked hands of these sinners put a crown of thorns upon his brow. They mocked him. They nailed him to the cross of Calvary. When the first 3 hours were finished on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says, as a matter of fact, here in Luke 23 and verse 44, that there was darkness over the face of the earth. And at that moment, Jesus was no longer in the hands of wicked men, but now his torture would be at the hand of God the Father. As God with his own hand would pour out the full cup of the wrath of his indignation on his only begotten Son, as he became sin for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. In the aftermath, Dr. Luke said in Acts chapter 4, verse 28, that all this was done according to, and I quote, the hand of God, as he had purposed beforehand. It was the sovereign hand of God that orchestrated all these events on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, his only begotten Son, being turned over into the hands of sinners and then suffering the full cup of his wrath by his own righteous hand, God the Father's hand. And then Jesus, in his last breath, his last moment on the cross, said, it is finished. It is finished. Into thy hands, O Father, I commit my spirit. Peter Marshall, in his immortal sermon, Go Down Death, in his book, A Man Called Peter, tells about a young boy by the name of Kenneth. Kenneth had been diagnosed with a terminal illness, and in his childish mind, he didn't understand what was awaiting him. One day, he asked his mother the question that she had been dreading for many, many weeks. He said, Mom, what's it like to die? Mom, does death hurt? Quick tears came to the mother's eyes as she had to excuse herself from young Kenneth's presence. She speedily walked into the kitchen and she cried out to God, God, I've got to give my dear son an answer. And as she stood there at the kitchen sink, God gave her an answer. She walked back into the room where her son was awaiting his mother's question, what is death like? Does it hurt? And Kenneth's mom said, do you remember when you were healthy and you'd go outside and you'd play with your friends all day and you'd come in at the end of the day and you'd be so tired that you'd come into mom and dad's room and you'd lay there on mom and dad's bed and you'd fall fast asleep on mom and dad's bed. It wasn't where you belonged. It wasn't your bed. But the next morning, when you woke up in your own bed. Kenneth, what had happened during the night was that your father, with his strong and loving hands, had scooped you up and put you in your own bed. And Kenneth, that's what death is like. One day you're going to be very tired. You're going to be very exhausted. And God the Father, in his loving hands, is going to pick you up and put you in another room, in the place where you belong. Oh, dear friend, do you have a place like that waiting on you? Do you have confidence? I'm asking you there in the balcony. I'm asking you in the back. I'm asking you here in the front. Do you have confidence that there is a place of safety waiting upon you as you face your own cross, as you face death? We put our valuables in safety deposit boxes in the bank. Oh, my friend, have you placed your immortal soul, your spirit, in the hands of the Lord God? That's the way that you face death, like the Lord Jesus Christ, with a prayer on your lips, with confidence and faith in your heart that He has provided a place of safety in His own loving hands for you. But there's a third way that we face death, and it's seen in that last statement that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, we face death with number three, the perspective of Scripture. Jesus said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." And what Jesus was doing here was actually quoting an Old Testament scripture. As a matter of fact, would you be surprised to know that four of the last sayings of Christ were all scripture quotations? As darkness covered all of the earth, Jesus quoted scripture. I made much of the fact in that fourth cry of the cross that Jesus quoted scripture in Psalm 22, verse 1, literally word for word, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then that fifth cry from the cross when he said, I thirst, that was alluded to in that same Psalm 22, verses 14 and 15, and more specifically in Psalm 69, verse 21, Jesus just quoted scripture on the cross of Calvary. I didn't mention this to you last week, but the last verse in Psalm 22 uses the word done. It's the same as saying it is finished. When Jesus made that sixth cry on the cross, he just, like he did in the fourth cry and the fifth cry, just quoted scripture. And now in his final cry from the cross, he quotes the Old Testament scripture of Psalm 31 in verse 5. You might want to turn there to see that word-for-word quotation that Jesus made. And as you're turning there, let me ask you a question. When you're facing difficulties at work tomorrow, when you're facing difficulties on your mission trip, or you're facing difficulties at home, you're facing difficulties in your relationships, and the pressure is on you, you're being squeezed, what comes out of you? I'll tell you what happens to a lot of us. When we're on our own personal crosses and we're being squeezed and the pressure's put on us, the lemon juice of complaint and cursing and sowing seeds of discord comes out. But when Jesus had the pressure put on him, when Jesus had the life being squeezed out of him, he didn't curse. He didn't complain. But Scripture just bubbled out of him. And that's what happens when Scripture becomes an important part of your life. When you're just not coming on Sunday morning and letting me spoon feed you every Sunday morning and that's your Bible study for the week. You're not going to make it on that, friend. When you carry the crosses of life, my a few minutes of preaching to you is not going to get you through that. That's why we have Sunday school here. That's why you have the opportunity to daily open the Word of God and study what He has for you. So when the pressures of life come, the natural thing that comes out of you is Scripture, just like it did for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what happens. When you're facing death, when you're facing hardship, Scripture gives you a divine perspective on what you're going through. And so Jesus' final and seventh saying on the cross was actually a quote from Psalm 31 and verse 5. But to lead into that, I've heard many of you turning in your Bibles to Psalm 31. I want you to look at verse 1. Psalm 31 and verse 1 to get the context of what Jesus was saying before he said verse Actually, Psalm 31 and verse 1. Looking there every eye. In you. Notice how this is a prayer. And isn't that the way Jesus began in this seventh saying on the cross was with prayer? In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Look at this word of prayer in verse 2. Bow down your ear to me. What do you do when you face death? What do you do when you endure your own personal cross? You pray like the Son did. But going on here and noticing now how he places himself into the safety of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice these places of refuge that Jesus mentions after he mentions prayer in verse 2. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. And then verse number 5. The word-for-word quotation of Jesus' seventh saying on the cross. Can I tell you something interesting about verse 5 before I read it? You know, many of you parents and grandparents will take your young children and at bedtime you will sit on their bedside and you might read a scripture to them. Or you might pray a prayer with them. Well, I want you to know that every Jewish mother in Bible days would do the same thing. She would sit on her young son or daughter's bedside, and she would whisper in their ears this prayer, Psalm 31 and verse 5. The Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep prayer that so many could quote. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul, to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. That was, in essence, the prayer that every Jewish mother prayed with her child when she whispered in their ear, verse number 5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Jesus is 33 now, hanging on the cross of Calvary. But I believe with all of my heart that as he uttered this seventh saying from the cross, he reverted back to the time that Mary, his mother, like every other Jewish mother in their day, would come to his bedside when he was a young boy. And she would lean over and she would whisper in little Jesus's ear, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Parents, grandparents, I know you wonder, do those kids, does it even register with them when you're praying with them at their bedside? When you're sharing scripture at their bedside, it just seems like one word is going in one ear and out the other. Oh, I can tell you, friend, it's sinking down deep into the recesses of their heart. And when they're adults, they'll recall it like Jesus recalled it. Oh, and by the way, where was Mary when Jesus made the seventh and final statement on the cross of Calvary? We know from the Gospel of John that she was at the foot of the cross. And I believe that as Jesus bowed his head, as John 19:30 said, he looked at his mother and said, Mother, I remember you were a good mom. I remember the prayer you prayed with me. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. And it's just my imagination, but I can believe and see that Mary looked up at her son reciting the prayer that she'd taught him as a little boy, and just like she did many years ago, mouthing with her son, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Friend, where's your faith? Where's your confidence? Where's your hope? Where's your trust as you face the crosses of life? Do you face your difficulties with prayer? Do you face your crosses with the confidence that there is a safe place that's waiting on you? Do you face your difficulties with the Word of God, giving you a divine perspective on all that you're going through? You can face it like Jesus faced it if you'll turn to Him in faith today. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, many of us are placing our trust and our confidence in man-made things. We've not placed our trust and confidence in You. And so, in this moment and in this hour, we commit ourselves to Your care, to Your loving kindness, and to Your tender mercies. And so, dear God, I pray for that soul that is nearest hell today. That one that has never trusted You as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would commit themselves to Your care, that they would trust You and Your finished work on the cross of Calvary. Father, there's others of us today that have unfinished business. We know that Jesus finished His work on the cross so that we could finish our business. For some of us, we need to come and be baptized. For some of us, we need to come and join the life of this church. So I pray for those people who are facing those decisions today. And Father, in this moment, we pray that You would have victory as we worship You in Your matchless name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.